Well, I ask for your prayers today. I want the Lord to meet with us here for these moments we have. I think an important phrase in that song we just sung was, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. If we are going to have any success living for the Lord, we're going to have to follow the path that He has placed for us. I believe that by God's Holy Spirit, that He is able to shine light on a path for you and me to walk, that we will know clearly where we're supposed to place our feet, where we put our steps. And in following the Lord, as we make those efforts to follow Him and we are endeavoring to hear that still small voice and walk in the light that the Lord has shown on our path, we can be sure that there's a safety and protection there. This morning, my little burden is outward adornings. Outward adorning. I believe that there are times and throughout the course of ministry and in pastorate, there are to be some things that are presented and taught and be reminded of from time to time. This is one of those things I feel like the Lord has been dealing with me about and talking about to present. We need to have instruction from the Lord. We need to be reminded occasionally. I'd like to just say this. I'm not going to try to name everything that is included in outward adorning. But I think that we're all intelligent enough to know what outward adorning means. The things that we put on our external bodies, those things that you see, those things that are visible are the outward things, the adornings, that we the whatever they may be, caps, hats, jackets, shoes, those things are the visible things to us. And I believe that the Lord wants us to follow a precept and a principle that is laid out in the Scriptures. And by the help of the Lord, I want us to have that presented today. I'd like to remind us that the New Testament, many things that we read in the New Testament, the truth that is included in the New Testament, the doctrines that are presented in the New Testament, much of those are derived from the Hebrew Scriptures, from the Old Testament. There are principles and values, there are properties that are laid down in the Old Testament that most of the New Testament truth is come through those Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus said clearly, I am not come to destroy the law, but I'm come to fulfill. And what Jesus came to do was to bring to you and me the heart and the mind of the Creator, the heart and mind of God. And He did that through the presentation of His own life, the way that He handled Himself while He was here. I believe there are at least three reasons for the Lord coming to this earth. One is to show to humanity the heart and the mind of the Father. Two is to bring to us a hope of redemption, of salvation. And three is to show us how to live, and it can be done, to live victoriously over the temptations of this world. He did all of those things to for us. If we find something in the New Testament, something rather a teaching in the Old Testament that is not countermanded in the New Testament, then it is still applicable. The term countermand means to revoke a former command or to give an order contrary to one before given, which annuls a former command and forbids its execution, as to countermand orders. In the noun form, a contrary order, a revocation of a former order or command. So countermand means to change, to annul, to supersede with a new commandment. Bill of divorcement is one example of a countermanded scripture. In the Old Testament, Moses gave a law for writing of a bill of divorcement. Jesus said that it was not so from the beginning. He did that because of the hardness of your hearts. And He revoked that. He said it wasn't applicable, it wasn't allowable. Or in the case of not being allowable, for just certain specific reasons that He gave, that there should be or could be divorcement. But He said from the beginning it wasn't so, because what they had done is taken this bill of divorcement and they had just used it for all manner of reasons to just separate because of, she burnt my food. She doesn't comb her hair right. Or now that she's older, her hair is gray. And I don't want that anymore. So I'm just going to get away from this contract that we have in life together. It had been abused, absolutely abused. There are indications in the New Testament that tell what the reasons are acceptable for divorcement. But it's very narrow. And we ought to be careful how we look at that. And I'd like to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 3. And I'd like to read a passage here. I have several scriptures this morning, so I desire your prayers, the Lord, to bless these. Isaiah chapter 3, and it lists several things here, and I will not try to identify or define all of these articles, but I think that we could get the gist of the understanding of what the prophet is saying by reading these things that are spelled out here in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 3, verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet, therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. I think we could see right off the bat that there is a certain aura, there is a certain attitude, there is a certain presentation that is given here. And it is drawing attention to me. These things that the Lord is about to speak about are those things that draw attention to that outward man. And there's something about outward adornment and pride that go together. There's something about those two things that are so very closely connected. And I think we could very easily say, and all very easily understand, that the Lord does not want us to have a proud, haughty, arrogant attitude in life. I don't think He wants us to have that about anything about ourselves. He doesn't want us to have it about our personal appearance. We stand and look in the mirrors and say, okay, I need to improve this. I need to make this a different color. I need to hide this blemish. I need to decorate this. I need to draw attention away from this portion of myself and make sure something else is focused on. I have this blemish. I want to hide it. I want it to be concealed. I want it to be covered. I want to draw attention to this area of my body so the focus is not on another part of my body. Those things are things that you and I need to be very, very careful about. Need to be very careful. So He says here, in that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles, and the wimples, and the crisping pins, the glasses, and the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. The Lord was obviously displeased with the presentation of these articles on the human body. His children, He saw these things and He said, because they have chosen to present themselves this way, I'm going to bring a curse. Can I tell you today, folks, we ought to be and we need to be very, very careful about how we present ourselves to the world around us and to one another. Those things that God has ordained and established, the way that He made these bodies, the way that He created us, it is a beautiful creation. Yes, there are things that happen in life. Yes, there are things that cause scars and sometimes deformities. But those things are things that you and I have to reckon with and deal with. And I realize that sometimes there are things that we can do subtly to try to cover and conceal things. But we ought not to have any form of vanity, pride, and self-promotion in any of those things that we do in life. May the Lord help us with this. 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away." This world's going to pass away. "And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In this catalog of things that I just mentioned to you in the book of Isaiah, there are so many articles here that it would take quite a bit of time to try to go through the list and define each one of them. But every one of them is something that God did not put His sanction on. Every one of them is something that God spelled out specifically and said, "I don't want this. I don't like this. I don't want to see this. This is not a portion of something that I want coming before me." And I don't find anywhere in the New Testament where this type of thing is countermanded. I don't see anywhere where it's revoked. Rather, I see that there are things in the New Testament that spell out to us about outward adorning. And I believe that we would understand, and I trust that by the time we're finished today, we'll understand what it is that our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is looking for from every one of His children in this life. Let's turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3, familiar passage, beginning with verse 1. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Conversation isn't your words. Can I say this? Sometimes, folks, our words have a detrimental effect because we can say too many words. When we have a concern and a burden about someone and we want to see them do right, or we see things in their lives that need to be amended, they need to be addressed, they need to be corrected, words sometimes can be a help, but words many times are overdone. And sometimes, when an individual is approached one-on-one, someone feels that they have the responsibility to fix things in people's lives. And they either do it by written word, by comments, or by their oral words. Those things usually tend to have a detrimental effect. What this word means, conversation here means, is your life. The way you conduct yourself. Your comportment. So here is a situation where, if you have a wife who has a husband here, and he's not obeying the word, that they may without the word be won by your life, by the way that you live day in and day out, steadfastly, solidly, securely, they can be won by that, coupled with fear. And then he says this, "Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning." Now this is speaking specifically to wives, but guys, don't get too easy here. "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." That is what the Lord is looking for from His children, the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. Because the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit comes from something that is within. It doesn't come from without. It comes from something that has been changed inside the heart and the mind of the individual. If I am going to have a meek and a quiet spirit, typically, in humanity, you do not naturally find the meek and quiet spirit. It takes a work of God, salvation working in the heart of an individual to transform them from what they used to be to what He wants them to be. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now, this is an observation today. It's been this way for many years now. It seemed like I started observing this in the mid-1970s. And that's been a few years ago, hasn't it? But it seemed like I remember the first time that I saw one of my classmates, male, come to school with a little necklace on. I looked at this guy and I thought, what in this world are you doing? He came to school, he came to class, and he had one of these little choker necklaces on. And I thought, why would a man want to make himself appear feminine? These kinds of things I can see on the girls, I see on the women. That's not an uncommon thing to see on the females. But why would this man want to present himself in this way before all of school and his classmates? Why would he want to take that place? Can I tell you, folks, since then, that has changed exponentially. Where the things that you and I and the people of society put on their bodies, and it is not only the women that want to decorate their bodies. It is men. Men want to do all kinds of manner of decoration of their outward adorning. Whether it's tattoos, whether it's earrings, whether it's piercings, whether it's rings, whether it's necklaces, whatever it may be, folks, they do the very same kinds of things that the women will do in their outward adorning, ornamentation. These things, I say to you in the fear of the Lord, are unacceptable before our Father. Man or woman, God is not pleased. If the Scripture says that He doesn't want the women to do it, where's the exemption for men? I don't find anything in the Scripture that would tell me that there is an exemption for men that is acceptable for a man to do it. There is rather the same principle that applies for a woman applies to a man. If a man has a wife and she doesn't want to live for the Lord, if she's not following the Word of God, I say that the converse is true, this very same thing, that if a man wants to win his wife, if he wants to win her to the Lord, if he wants to cause her attention to be turned to the right things and principles and values in life, then he ought to, by his conversation, live before the Lord and before his society and before his home, his family, his wife, in such a way that there can't be any gainsaying of what he is doing and the way he's conducting himself. But it points to God. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Yes, men are made out of a different fabric. And yes, they're supposed to be leaders. And yes, they're supposed to have their broad shoulders to bear the weight of the burden of life. Yes, they're supposed to have all those things. Yes, they're supposed to be able to make the decisions. Yes, they're supposed to be trusted to make the right decisions. If we can't, men, if we can't be trusted to make the right decisions, if I can't be trusted to not follow the prescriptions laid out in the Word of God, how do I hope to win those in my home, in my family? I'll tell you, folks, this outward adorning has a big impact on our society. Because it's an indication of what is inside the heart of the man than what shows up on the outside. And many times you'll hear, oh, the Lord knows my heart. Absolutely, He does. But I say to us, we are, as a child of God, we ought to understand there in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's plain. Those aren't my words. That's not a judgment that comes from my lips. That comes from the Word of God. And it's something that you and I ought to really understand and embrace and do everything that we know to do and can do to have that incorporated into our lives. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, in like manner also, which tells me, as I read this, that there is a connection between the man and the woman, in like manner also, how I should conduct myself. That women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Folks, same thing applies to the men. The principle is the same. There may not be specific wording that says men don't do this, but the principle applies equally to one to the other. There's no difference in the sight of God, male and female. He sees all in the same framework. He knows that there is a distinction and difference between the sexes. But when it comes to the heart and the issues and the matters of the heart, those things God sees as being equal. As being equal. If I have in my heart and my mind that I want to be seen, I want to be heard, I want to be noticed, I want to be recognized, then I can make myself seen, heard, noticed, and recognized. I can do the things that cause me to be seen, heard, noticed, and recognized. I can put the ornamentation on that causes you to see, you focus your attention to a certain portion of my body. I can cause that to be visible. If I want to be noticed, recognized, seen, and heard, I can cause there to be distinctions drawn where you see, recognize, and notice certain aspects about me. I see the things in our culture, in our society today, that are grievous. Grievous to the heart of men. I hope it's grievous to everyone in here. And certainly grievous in the sight of God. We see the piercings, we see the nose rings, we see the jewels, we see all manner of decorations and ornamentations. And may I say something here? In the early 1900s, time of Reformation, there was a major separation in the Church of God. There were several issues that were involved, but one of the external evidences of that was the necktie. It was the necktie. Men wanted to take on the necktie. May I put a caution out to you, sisters? May I put a caution to you? Be careful about the ornamentations that you put around your necks with the scars and those kinds of things. May I say to you, be careful about that. If it's not acceptable, if it shouldn't be that a man wears a necktie for whatever utility it may have or he may claim that it has, which I say is none, then I would caution you, be very careful about the things that you put on just for ornamentation and show. Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Not me. Not glorify you. But glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You see, the Lord's purpose in giving us these kinds of instructions is for us to be able to have an effective life wherever we may go. If you are just different for the sake of being different, that's not the right reason. If I only wear certain things because it is a discipline that I exact upon myself and I don't have an understanding or conviction about it, that's not the best reason. But when I have an understanding of the principles of the Scripture and I choose to be different from the world, not because I just want to be different, but because I realize that there is a difference between a child of God and the things of this world, that is something that is acceptable before the Lord. One of the main principles here, I believe, is humility. Humility. Plainness. One of the main principles involved here is simplicity and humility. I'll give you some examples. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Do we hear that word? God resisteth the proud. I don't want to be in a place where I am being resisted by God. I don't want you to be in a place where you're being resisted by God. I don't want any one of us to be in a place where the way that we live our lives and what we do, the way we act, what we put on our outward man is something that God looks at and says, I can't accept that, and we're resisted by Him. We don't want that. Be clothed with humility. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I dwell in a high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. That's what the Lord is looking for. And I believe that's one of the principles that are involved in the outward adorning, that we ought not do anything that promotes me, my mind, myself, above the things of God. Again in Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Bring a few more things to mind here. When our Lord and Savior was here on this earth, there were things that caught his attention as he was observing the acts of people. One of them was the widow's mite. When they were in the temple, giving of their abundance, this little widow walked up and she dropped hers into the box. It caught Jesus' attention. He didn't stop the process of what was going on there, but he spoke to those near him and said, did you see what she did? Did you notice what she did? Everybody in this room cast in of their abundance, but she gave all that she had. Was it much? No. The widow's mite. But in the eyes of God, it was everything. You see, it's not opulence. It's not the amount. It's not how much we're able to give. But it's the attitude and heart in which it is done. Jesus noticed that with this widow woman. He didn't condemn anyone for giving of their abundance. He didn't say they were doing the wrong thing. But he took notice of what little this little woman was able to give, and she did it because he noticed it because it was all that she had. That was a small thing. It seems to me as though Jesus took notice of those who had humility in their lives, and he saw that, he recognized that, and it caught his eye, and his attention was focused on those kinds of things. The Pharisee and the publican. You remember that exchange. Here's a Pharisee. It says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. I do this, I do that, and I'm so thankful I'm not like this man. And this man over in the corner says, wouldn't even lift up his eyes to God, but smote upon his breast and said, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was a place of humility. What does the Scripture say concerning those two? I'll tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. It caught the attention of the Lord, one who was humble, one who recognized his station in life, one who recognized where he was. In the grand scheme of things, folks, you and I we have no right to think real highly of ourselves, because the truth of the matter is, we're not much more than just clay, some water that God has fashioned together and made a human being out of it. The two thieves on the cross. One on one side, one on the other. One of them says, do something about this. If you're the Son of God, do something about this. Save yourself and save us. The other one said, what are you talking about? This man hasn't done anything wrong. We're here because we're thieves and we deserve this punishment. And he turned to the Lord and said, remember me when you enter your kingdom. Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Which one of those caught the Lord's attention? The one who was in the place where he recognized his situation before the Lord, realized he was low, needy, humble, folks. Every day you and I are needy creatures before the Lord. We ought not promote ourselves, decorate ourselves, put ourselves on show and display. The Lord's not going to accept that. That's one of the principles that He is against. The high and lofty attitude, haughty. Little woman who touched His garment. She had affliction on her body. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. And she creeped through that crowd. I don't know how she did it, but she was able to reach out and touch the hem of the Lord's garment. And He said, who touched me? Who touched me? And they said, Lord, there's a crowd of people around you. And you said, who touched me? There's all people all over that are touching you. He said, no. You don't understand. Somebody touched me because I perceive that virtue has gone out from me. This little woman who had the affliction, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. I'll tell you, folks, the Lord is looking for the humble and contrite in heart and mind and spirit. He will hear the cry of those. But the haughty and the mighty and the lifted up in their own conceits, the Lord is not pleased with. I say that the outward ornamentation has a lot to do with what is inside the heart. It has a lot to do with what's inside there, what comes out. We heard during the meeting the language of the heart. The Lord knows all of those cries, all those feelings, all those things about me, who I am and why I do the things I do. It is one of the reasons why that there has been teaching because of the Scriptures, but recognizing that the Lord looks at the contrite and humble and lowly in heart. One more and we'll close. The centurion, Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Lord, I'm a centurion, and I want you to recognize my position, and I want you to come to my house, and I want you to heal my servant. Is that how he approached the Lord? No. He said, I have a servant that's grievously tormented, and if you just speak the word, you could heal him. Jesus says, I will come. No, I'm not even worthy that you would come to my house. But if you would just speak the word, it'd be done. I'll tell you, folks, the Lord looks upon the contrite and the humble. This man, centurion, had authority. He had power, but he also recognized where his authority and his power came from. If you and I will have any connection with God, if we will have any success living for the Lord, we have to recognize where our authority comes from. We have to recognize who gave us that ability. If we have any ability whatsoever, if we have any authority, if we have anything in this life, we have it not because I've been so smart, I've been so strong, I've been so successful. Those are components. But they come from one who is able to give them. And if I try to promote myself above my Creator, then I put myself in jeopardy of being able to receive His blessings and His benefits. Outward adorning makes a big difference in how God sees us and our relationship with Him. I pray, Lord, to help me to know how to conduct myself in this life. And I pray for us all. You pray for me. Folks, let's be careful about how we present ourselves before our Lord. And remember that the only reason that we light a candle is to give light. And if we have confusion, if we emit confusion by the way we conduct ourselves in this world is going to be confused. I say to us today, one of the reasons for all the confusion in this world is because of the confusion in religion. Amen. Because of the confusion in religion and what religion, Christianity, is willing to accept and sanction and put their approval on is one of the reasons we have so much confusion in the world today. You pray for me. Amen.